giving messages on 11-hour miracle, last-minute miracle, last-minute.com miracle. I believe majority of us believe in those messages. But the issue is, how do we now assess it? How do we make it come to pass? This evening, we're going to take a look on how to activate faith to work for us. So why do we really have to speak on faith this evening? Number one, nobody can be born again without having faith in God. It takes faith to get saved. This we can read from Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is actually gift of God. Secondly, we cannot live a Christian life without faith. Like we read from Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, a soul which is lifted up upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Faith is not karaoke or casino, as the case may be. It's not what we just activate, have faith. Faith is like a lunch bus. You are very sure the food is there. When the child is hungry, he goes for the lunch bus, knowing fully well that his food is there, the water is there. Then without faith, of course, we know it's impossible to please God. Imagine all we are doing is not to please God. That's what it means not to have faith. That's the opposite of what that passage is saying. James 4 says, anything the devil throws to you, you must resist it. God cannot resist the devil. We are to resist the devil. Then again, it takes faith to get our prayers answered. It takes faith to get our prayers answered. All this we know. In James 5:14-16, a popular verse in the church, it's very clear from that passage that it wasn't the prayers of the elders that healed the person or the anointing oil. Anointing oil will never heal you. You will like go and buy one drum, pour on yourself. But the moment you activate your faith on that very issue, why I'm taking time to read all this is that a lot has been said about 11-hour miracle from January even up to this December. Still, it's difficult for us to assess what the Lord has been telling us time and time over. It takes faith to receive the blessings of God. This you can see in Romans 5:1-2. In other words, how do you appropriate God's blessing? You appropriate God's blessings through faith. Then, do you know that whatever is not faith is sin? Anything that is not acted on faith is sin. It's the Bible. See, Romans 14:23 says, I'm reading for King James Version, and he that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not faith is sin. It's the Bible. Faith is one of the fundamental principles of course in the doctrine of Christ. Like Hebrews 1 says, therefore let us have the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. For God to work effectively in your life and for you to profit from it, you must mix that work, that diligent work we've been doing from January up till today, that is 6th of December. You must mix it with faith. You must mix it with faith. Then again, it is by faith that will stand. It is by faith that will stand. This you can read up in Romans 11:20. We are kept by the power of God through faith. What Peter is telling us in 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So faith in God gives us the right protection. It preserves us. Gives us the healing that we need. No wonder the Bible says that the only fight that we should fight is the fight of faith. The only fight that we should fight is the fight of faith. Not fighting with your wife, not fighting at the motor park. It's the fight of faith. The fight of faith. Then again, I'm not surprised, reading from Galatians 6:10, that the family of God, the throne room, is called the house of faith. Galatians 10 is the house of faith. Let me read it. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Or the household of faith. If you go through the epistle, Christians are called believers. They are called believers, faithful people. Our faith is the victory that will overcome the world. Once we have faith in God, there's nothing we cannot overcome. Then again, if we read from 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it talks about the breastplate of faith. Faith is part of our spiritual armor. It's part of our spiritual armor. Paul told Timothy to follow after faith and to be an example to believers in faith. This we can read from Timothy. Your function in gift and endowment of God has placed on your life according to your proportion of faith. God has placed on all of us diverse gifts. But the only way you can increase it is acting on your faith. As long as you don't act on your faith, it remains at the same level. Like the servants that they gave money to go and trade. One kept his own, knowing fully well. Having in his mind that his master is a very wicked man, he kept his gift. Therefore, no increase. Then we got to Christianity. The New Testament that we are in now is called the faith and the word of God. It's called the word of faith. Even the Great Commission that we are asked to be part of, the Great Command, can't be in the Great Command. You can't function in the Great Command without faith. So that brings us to what exactly is faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Can we read that together, please? Now. No, please. No, wait, please. There's supposed to be a comma there. So we say now. Now. Can you repeat that for me, please? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Giving substance to what faith we hope for. That's what that passage is saying. It's also telling us that giving substance to things we hope for is the evidence. It is the evidence. Faith is not hope. Faith is not hope. As you can see there. Because most of us mistakenly take hope for faith. We have hope. I'll give you a practical example now. If I intend to see Daddy Wogu in the church on Sunday, of course, I have hope that I will see him. But when I see him, the moment I see him, if I get up to go and see him or make extra effort to see him, I don't even need to wait for him to come to church. I'll find out whether it's possible for me to go to his house. That is faith. Hope cannot take you anywhere. That's the issue we're having in the church. Most of us are hoping that they will get married. Most of us are hoping that this year we'll have money. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Then again, let me say that the faith that we are talking about is not the same thing as our human faith, or if you like, human feeling. Human feeling. Then again, faith is not denial. In the human feeling, I consider Thomas as a classical example. That seeing is believing. But the Bible faith that I'm talking about is the Abrahamic faith. Faith is not denial. It's not denial. Faith actually faces the facts. It doesn't deceive anybody. Like I've had so many people say, I am rich. Please, can you borrow me 100 naira? That's not faith. I am well. Please, can you take me to the hospital? That's not faith. Faith goes for the facts. Admit that you don't have money. Then act on it. Not deny yourself that you're okay. Look at the story of the Israelites when they wanted to cross over. They did cross. And what did the Egyptians do? Because they cross, they thought they can act on their own faith to now cross too. And they were consumed. They were drowned. That I see Mrs. Monero give a testimony in the church of any particular thing. It's my responsibility. If I believe that testimony will work for me, it's my responsibility to go to the Bible, to go and search the Bible, look for the particular Bible verse that I will act on. Then again, it's not possible for faith to override our individual will. It cannot. It can't. If you look at the Bible in Genesis, we'll be wondering why Abraham got the result he got. Because he believed in God. Acted on it. Although it took time. But it worked. That's a lesson for some of us. It doesn't have to be immediately. But just have faith in God. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And again, from the story of Abraham, if you read that passage, Abraham did not consider his situation. He did not. That he was old, he just believed God that it's going to work out. I wish and I believe all of us will do the same in Jesus' name. But the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5 that the Lord will never forsake us. Keep your life from free love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I hear amen to that? Amen. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. When you have faith in God, believe that you really have faith in God. No man can do you nothing. 1 Peter 2:4 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die of sin, live to righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. Thank God for the word. Hebrews 4:3a says, For we who have believed enter thy rest, he has said. For we believers, we've entered thy rest. That rest is for us. No wonder Ephesians 4:27 asks us to neither give place to the devil. We should not allow the devil to affect our thoughts, our faith in God. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That's the word of God. But you have to believe first. The receiving is in the believing. Not after you've received, or you see a sign that you receive, then you now believe. That's not the way it works. That's what the Bible is saying there. Matthew 21:22 says, and all things whoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive them. I've mentioned the fact that hope, of course, is not faith. That's why in the service, have you noticed that in some services we see more manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Have you noticed that it's not? He has never been at par or equal. And the reason is this: as individuals, we have the responsibility not to put on hold the work of God, especially when services are going on, by playing with our phones, not concentrating. Even Jesus had similar issues. Look at what Mark 6:5 says. And he could do no mighty work, save he laid his hands upon a few folk and healed them. In that service, they had people with cancer, all sorts of diseases. But because of their faith, he couldn't do nothing. All he had to do was to heal people of malaria. Or probably you are sweating a lot. He just wiped your face. Now, that was the miracle he just did because of their faith. Acts 14:7-9-10 says, thank you. And there they preached the gospel. Verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. He heard the word of God. He heard the word of God. Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He had faith to be healed. He had faith to be healed. All this while, he had faith to be healed. Like most of us, we have faith for that particular issue. From January, we had faith. February, we had faith. March, up to even tonight, we had faith. But nothing happened. I read further. Verse 9, then the same heard Peter speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Peter knew, perceived through the Holy Spirit, that he had faith to be healed. Said with a loud voice, stand on thy feet. And the man leaped and walked. The man acted on the instruction. But first of all, he heard the word. Peter, through the permission of the Holy Spirit, knew that the man had faith. Like most of us here, we have faith. Tonight, the Lord is asking us to leap. Get off from that place and walk on it. and God will perfect it in Jesus' name. Then Mark 11:23, reminding from King James Version. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's why I said we must admit that there is a mountain. There is a mountain. But be thou removed. Because if you don't agree that really there's really a mountain with your mouth, there's nothing God will remove. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatsoever he saith is actually in the saying. It is in the saying. Most of us have quiet prayer. Quiet prayer, we lie down on the bed. After reading probably one or two verses, we sleep off. So we have quiet prayer. Not in the car, no, not in the office. We must open up our mouth to say it. To say it. You must vouch it out. Say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. Say that thing that you believe. Faith in your heart released through your lips makes things work. Let me touch on head faith. I read John 20:25-29. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord, talking about Thomas, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put in my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That what most of us are doing. We want to see evidence before we believe. But that's not what Hebrews 11:1 is telling us. We must believe. Father, we must, even if we, before you go to pray, believe you've got the answer. Come to your prayers with the answers. That's what the Lord has done for us, a redemption. Verse 26 says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach tight out thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach height out my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. That's our Lord. That's very heart faith. Is one we believe from our very heart that we know that we believe. We believe that it will work no matter what. If it has not worked today, I believe God has made it already. It's that it has worked already. It's just for us to see the manifestation. It's done. It's a done deal. That's what we see in Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me just digress a bit. Salvation in this case is all encompassing. It involves everything we can ever ask from God. Salvation from our finances, salvation from our health. That's what God is telling us here. Confession is made unto salvation. Through our mouth, we use our mouth. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Can I tell you anything about that? I can do all things. Thank you. So all we need really to succeed is to have God in the equation. Have God in the equation. Because Amos 3:3 says, How can two work together unless they agree? Look at the widow of Zarephath. You can read that later from 1 Kings 8 to 16. You can go and read the story later. Elijah asked her, after all said and done, that she should consider him first. She should consider him first. Put God first. We must learn to faithfully put God first in that equation. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, what it says that her obedience in going to fetch water resulted in more responsibilities because she agreed to fetch water. Look at the added responsibility. She was not asked to go and make cake, because she faithfully went to fetch water. Added promotion. At the end of the day, she got her blessings. Tell your neighbor, I'll put God first. Can you say it louder, please? Let me be the first beneficiary so that you can have an overflow, non-stop benefits. When God is the first beneficiary of whatever we're doing faithfully, believe in me, non-stop overflow. And when the overflow comes, that's what you can classify as a rich man, because he has enough, not just for his family, but for his community. Allow God to be the senior partner. Solomon in the Bible did the same thing. In 2 Corinthians 1, 6 to 15. Look at Peter during his breakthrough. Peter walked throughout the night. Of course, he was not alone. He was washing his net, getting ready for the next day job to start all over again. Two boats were there. We were there. He had friends with similar unfortunate circumstances. But God chose him because the Bible reminds us that in Romans 9, 15 to 16, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on him, on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but God that shows mercy to his faithful servants. In closing, Abraham believed God and also believed God's promises. Let's just take a look at some of the steps that we can use in activating the faith I know we have. I'm very sure throne room, we have faith. We have faith. If you don't believe me, just come for morning, tomorrow's morning prayer. You know that we have faith. Number one, have the right, search the Bible. Explain it first. Have the right word for that particular case. Have the right word. Before praying, like I said earlier, search the Bible. It's not even difficult now, like at least with iPad, you can search. Search the Bible for the right word of that particular case. What most of us have been doing all this while is giving a paracetamol to a cancer patient. It can't work. A typhoid drug for malaria. We've seen that happen in most of the hospitals in Nigeria because they've not diagnosed whether it's malaria or typhoid. They end up treating malaria patient for typhoid. It's still happening today. I lost a friend. My friend lost his wife somewhere in Asokoro about 15 years ago. What happened? She had malaria. Went to the clinic. They bought the wrong drugs. Before morning, she was dead. Please, we need to search the right word. Search the right word. And when we see it, before we even pray, we need to believe the word of God. Believe that word that you've seen. Believe the word that you've seen. Consider not the contradictory circumstances. Yes, in this case, there are situations that you just cannot comprehend. You can't comprehend them. You know what I mean? How can this be? Pastor has been telling us that 11-hour miracle that will end this year better than we've ever done before. Then you start considering our circumstances. It can never work. Never. Let me tell the church, I've taken time to notice that for Throne Room, I don't know about other churches, we had our best testimonies during the recession. Can you agree with me? The recession just came and passed as if we had our best testimonies. I tell you what, if we can live after the recession, believe me, God has a package for you. He has a package for you. He used that recession or whatever they call it to perfect us for the now benefit. Give praise to God for the answers prayers. Now that you've believed, you've not considered the circumstances, the only thing remaining is for us to immediately start thanking God. Our faith could be hindered through unforgiveness. It can also be hindered if we refuse to walk in love. Even as a church, refuse to walk in love. We don't walk in love. Instead of encouraging a fellow church member, rather we want to gossip with the person. We'd like to bring the person down. Our faith will never work. Then again, if you keep disobeying your conscience, all of us who have conscience, once you give your life to God, you have conscience. There are certain things you want to do. Maybe you ended up doing it. It will come back to you. Why did you do this? You shouldn't have done this. Why? That's the conscience I'm talking about. The lack of knowledge, like I've said earlier, could also hinder our faith. Then finally, our refusal. We refuse to act on that faith. Then it can never work. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to as in the Bible, I believed, so I spoke. So we believe, so we also spoke. So it's actually in the speaking. We must say it out. Like I said in the morning prayer, before David killed Goliath, all the things he decreed came to pass. Everything. If you go back to your house, you can have a look at it. Everything he decreed. Our God is indeed a faithful God.